We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments, Maurice's.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Are at your service. This is Johnny Rabbit. We have a very short show today because guess what's going to happen? Billiken's basketball later on. And one of the things I want to mention, if we have a couple of authors of books coming up in this next half hour or so, if you want to be a author of a book or a writer of any type, you can find out how next Monday with me, February 27th. That's at 10:30 in the morning. It's for Oasis. It's at the center of Clayton. It's a Johnny Rabbit program. The number is 1043, and it's all about writing, writing about plays, writing reviews, being a critic, writing your life story, whatever you want to do. We will discuss it all, and there's a heck of a lot to discuss, but you got to call to get in on this. It'll very limited size class, so you can call right now and leave your name and number. The number at Oasis is 314-962-4859. Extension 24, that Oasis number again, 314-962-4859, extension 24. Again, that's going to be next Monday, 10:30 in the morning, Oasis at the center of Clayton. One of the things we'll be kind of looking at and actually performing, I have one of the KMOX holiday radio shows that I did so many shows. I hope we have more again. I'm talking about Kevin Killeen. Ed Wheatley has arrived here. Hi, Ed. Good morning, sir. I hope you're doing good.
Doing real good. Glad to be back.
I'm glad you're back again. Look at all this stuff I've got from you here. First of all, Ed Wheatley is going to talk about sports history and basketball history specifically, since we have the Billikens on today. Patrick Murphy has a new book called Places to Pray. We're going to talk to Patrick probably in a few minutes. Then Travis Dillon of Ted Drew's. You ever go to Ted Drew's?
Oh, absolutely. Been there a lot, but also I've worked with Travis a lot on the Ted Drews Sr. and what a phenom he was in the sports scene.
Oh, yeah, and he's in this book we're about to talk about. Travis will be here later on. Then Chris Saraceno. I have the various restaurants, Chris's Pancake and Dining, the Bartolino's restaurants, and we're going to talk about the restaurant business and, of course, The Hill specifically. Well, now, this is your most recent book, right?
Most recent one, yeah.
It's called the St. Louis Sports Memories book.
Yes, Forgotten in Moments of America's Best Sports Town.
How long has this been out?
It came out at the end of last fall.
And then you're going to have a new one in April, according to Josh Stevens, at your publisher, Reedy Press. You've got a lot of books.
Yeah, I do.
but what's it going to be about?
This one's called St. Louis Cardinals, everything you need to know. And it's we're putting it in a way that really has never been portrayed to attract younger audiences, but at the same time, it will fulfill the memories of older fans. Mm-hmm. It's a really unique way of telling the story in a short, comprehensive way.
And what do you mean by short, comprehensive? Short,
well, it's not a 300-page book some of these. I mean, we you know, it's full of, as all my books are, always full of pictures.
Well, but, a lot of great pictures.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm that's how you can take people back through the memories, through pictures, and, you know, keep them inspired to what they're reading. So
it's, you ever see a picture of Bob Pettit? Oh. Makes all the difference. I've seen the name Bob Pettit, but there he is in action.
He's in this book we're going to talk about in a minute, in the basketball story of St. Louis, Bob Pettit, one special player.
Now, are all your books still available? Can you get them?
All the books are available. They're at all stores, online, readypress.com, anywhere you want to go.
And they are, as I have it here in my list, the St. Louis Cardinals, Everything You Need to Know.
That's correct.
And then the Incredible Cardinals.
Yeah,
what was the theme of the Incredible Cardinals?
Well, the Incredible Cardinals turned out to be a fantastic book. This year, again this week, I've got multiple elementary schools.
Hmm.
I have been to almost 3,000 students in elementary schools the region in just this school year, and I've done this for the last 3 years.
Incredible Cardinals. What are you doing?
Okay, Incredible Cardinals was, you know, there's so many good stories about the Cardinals, books, so many books. And when I was asked to write one, I was like, you know, what is it that's different from any other book? Well, you know, there was no book about the players on the left field wall, the men who were painted on there with their retired numbers. These are the men who made the Cardinals, you know, the second greatest baseball team behind the Yankees in all major leagues. They are the best in the National League. But who were these men? You know, they were the heroes of these kids' parents and grandparents. So we put these stories, and what I teach with the kids is how to write a book. Why do you want to write a book? You know, you're going to be teaching this, as you said at the beginning of this segment. What is it? So these kids, will they care about what you're writing? Sure. What is it you're going to write? What makes the difference? So we go through who the players are on the wall and talk, you know, hey, have you seen these, whatever? You know, why would people buy this book? And we give a little story about the players, and then we made these great pictures and caricatures where I show them actual pictures of the players in a pose from their playing day, like Lou Brock racing to second base.
Right.
You know, and so I took that picture and I drew some things up. And then we had Ed Kohler, a great artist, took my rough sketches and made these beautiful illustrations. And there's, you know, you go back to the kids and say, hey, what's in this picture that we talked about? Well, Lou's got bases in his hands. So he's stealing bases, right, you know? And I talked about he was as fast as a drag car racer at a racing event.
Yeah.
We have fire coming out. So at the bottom of his heels are fire. And the thing that amazes me, these third, fourth, and fifth grade kids, he's got the wings of Hermes, you know, the mythological figure on his hat and his feet. And we do something like that on each. And then we come back and put the words in. And what's the words? Hey, they rhyme. And so find the rhyming words. So then, you know, okay, you don't end your story. How do you got to end it? It comes down to the last pages in the book. There's a moral. Every story's got to have a moral while you read it. But it's a picture of Yadi and Albert standing at shortstop. And these are all very brilliantly colored pictures. I mean, drawn pictures. Staring at the wall and asking each other, you think you were good enough? We know the answer to that, but kid with hard work, dedication, you can put hard work and make yourself incredible, too.
That is a great concept. What a great idea. How long does the talk go when you go to a class?
I do it. We try to do it in about 15 minutes. You know, we have all these classes, and I'll go from one. Sometimes we have combined, but I mean, I've been throughout, and I got two this week and two next week.
How do people find out about this? Obviously, people found out.
Well, they see it on Facebook and the schools. You know, many of them have me back every year because as the kids move up, new kids move into those grades, they always invite me, and they love it. Sometimes I bring Fredbird. You never know.
We have the right. Well, that would be exciting.
But it's a thing that they go home, and you know, the feedback is, hey, they start at dinner table that night. They're talking to their parents about, hey, there was a guy named Lou Brock. And the thing of it is, this is not just a kid's book, because for parents and grandparents, the heroes on the wall were of the parents and grandparents, and they're telling the stories together. It's a book that kids can combine, enjoy, parents and grandparents together.
What a terrific book. You mentioned The Man on the Wall. Will there ever be a woman on the wall, do you think?
Well, you know, you never know. Could happen. You could. You never know.
No, you don't. You really don't know.
Down the road. I mean, if we had the Negro League board of wall, there'd be a few women over there. You know, we had some women who played in the Negro Leagues and owned Negro League teams over the Newark.
Here in St. Louis.
No, in Newark, New Jersey. Oh. But the Newark Eagles.
But we had a Negro League team.
Yes, we had a team. It was actually, you can combine them by two names, the Giants. And then the Giants played, and then they changed their name to the Stars as they got new ownership.
Did they play at the same stadium, so to speak?
Well, the Giants stadium was over on Clarence and Broadway, just at O'Fallon Park, right where you make that bend where the big slope is, and there was a bend. Just on the east side of the highway is Broadway, and that's where Giants Park is. And you're talking about St. Louis U today, right across the street there in Harris Stowe, right across from Chaffetz,
and
is where the Stars played on that baseball field that sits right there at Compton and Market.
Another book, the Wrestling at the Chase. Wow, what a book that has been. And that's a book that will last forever and ever. People would be buying it.
Everybody's got a memory, and they all want to stop you and tell you that memory.
There they were in the Coruscant room, a big room, and a big book, too, with all of the info.
Well, not only were they in the Coruscant room, a lot of times they were just memories of sitting at home breaking the coffee table as you put a Dick the Bruiser move on your brother, or first time you heard your mother cuss as she was screaming at the referee.
People did scream watching TV, watching Channel 11, KPLR-TV.
That's correct.
What a great promotion for Harold Koppler and Sam Muchnick and for wrestling in general to have that.
St. Louis was the world capital of professional wrestling.
St. Louis Browns, a story of a beloved team. Now, another book that will live on. And there's a fan club. Well, you've got something coming up for the fan club, don't you?
We got multiple things coming up for the fan club. Yes, the St. Louis Browns, that book led to two Emmy-nominated and winning films on PBS. The book was the best book published in baseball from Sports Digest. And this coming Saturday, we've got an event down at the Carondelet Historical Society. They're a great partner. It's a great place to visit if, you know, not just baseball. I mean, where the first kindergarten was, and they have this whole collection of history. But we do quarterly roundtables, and, you know, this is our hot stove spring training type roundtable. And we're going to do Memories of Sportsman's Park.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's at the Historical Society. You can come down there at 1 o'clock Saturday, the 6303 Michigan Avenue. They're great partners. We've had many events there from the Browns Historical Society. And then on March 31st, we're going to open and debut a gallery of Browns history and memorabilia at the Eugene Field House Museum. Mm-hmm. And it will run from March 31st through October, during baseball season.
What a great thing.
People can learn about the Browns.
Wonderful place, and they've had a lot of problems with the water, and the house itself is not going to be open, but the museum, which is an addition about 6 years or so ago, it's very, really nice, very roomy.
Yes.
Another great thing about it is all that free parking.
Yes,
right,
they got great free secure parking in the back. And, you know, I've been down there multiple times since they hit the Christmas Eve pipe burst. And,
yes.
They're coming along pretty well.
Good.
And,
good.
You know, what we're there is to keep their brand aware of this great treasure.
It is a great treasure. Describe it for somebody that doesn't know. You'd say, okay, you go to the Fieldhouse Museum. Where is it?
It's right diagonal, southeast, just corner from Busch Stadium. And it's where Eugene Field lived, one of the greatest poets, you know, in American literature. And they also have something that adds to just his house is they have a toy museum of all these old toys. You go in there and you like freak out. Hey, I had this when I was a little kid. And, you know, probably my grandparents had these, you know, it's just great. And they have this big gallery. And, you know, with baseball fans trekking to St. Louis, they asked us if we would like to put up something there and help them.
End of March.
From March 31st through October.
This is something to see. I mean, it really it was a great idea. We'll be right back.
Right.
Take a short break. Here I am. Very shortly, we'll be joined by one of your fellow Reedy Press writers, Patrick Murphy, who has a brand new book. I don't know if you've seen that or not. Yeah. Then we've got to talk about your new book, too.
Yeah.
Ed Wheatley is with us. This is Johnny Rabbit. We're at your service at KMOX. That's Johnny Rabbit. We are here with Ed Wheatley. Ed Wheatley and his current book that we've been talking about, St. Louis Sports Memory. Next book, what is it going to be?
St. Louis Cardinals, everything you need to know.
Everything you need to know. It's not in all these previous books. Is it more stuff?
We're trying to find those unique stories. Just
like, you know,
this book, people didn't know about all these teams.
Of course not.
You know, they didn't know about, they don't today remember the great St. Louis U basketball teams that we're going to lead into.
NIT time of 48.
NIT, 1948. Coach Eddie Hickey.
Yep. What a team.
Well, I mean, the thing that made that team so surprising is that one, they beat, you know, New York University, which was the big team in Madison Square Garden, their hometown, led by Ed McCauley. And every player on that team was from St. Louis. Now, you go find
teams today that's strange,
from the same little locale. And I mean, it was just amazing that, I mean, that was one of the things. And Clay Carey just passed away a couple weeks ago, was the last player.
And, I'll be darned.
Yeah, I was at his funeral and know his son, but that's was really the thing. Not only did they win the NIT, which was the big dance in the days. It's not this March Madness. That was made for TV. In those days, it was the NIT, and St. Louis took them down.
I bet there were a lot of prayers at St. Louis University.
I'm sure. I think there's a lot of prayers in sports, Patrick.
Do I hear a segue coming on here?
There he is, Patrick Murphy, of all the people.
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
Well,
good to see you.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who knows more about sports than you. You amaze me.
Nobody.
You know, Ed and I are always crossing paths at book signings and things. We're always...
Well, but that's true.
We're both Reedy guys, Reedy Press guys.
What a great company Reedy Press has been for St. Louis.
They take great care of their authors, and they're really out there in the community.
Yeah, they really are, and they really help, and they really put out a good product all the time, whatever they have.
And the stories are so important to the cities.
Yes.
That's the key. I mean, and they resonate with the people who live in the cities they sponsor.
I mean, it's really important for a community to know about itself. And Reedy is good about that, whether you're doing sports or places to pray, churches around the state of Missouri, which I guess
that's your book.
What I'm here to talk about.
Holy Sites in Catholic Missouri.
Yeah.
And the book, I mean, they're pretty much similar to the sports memories. Yep. That's sort of the general format of most Reedy books today.
Well, and the coffee table book, my book on the Irish and your book on wrestling. Those were the big coffee table.
Yeah, I've done like three or four coffee table books, the big ones. And one of the things, you know, is we do signings, like everything today with inflation, but the cost of producing these big books has gotten expensive.
Yes,
and like this, you know, this sports memories one, all these tremendous stories, as I said, why St. Louis is the best sports town. I wanted it to be when it rings up under $30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people resonate. I mean, I had many times people say, that one's not in my budget when it's $40-something, you know?
That's true. That is true. And both of your books are $27.
Yeah. $27, yeah. And well worth it.
Of course. Now, when you're doing these appearances, for example, at the Carondelet Historical Association next Saturday, 1 o'clock, will you have books to sell?
Yeah, we'll have all the books, and those profits. When we do the roundtables, go to the St. Louis Browns Historical Society Fan Club, which allows us to keep the legacy alive. So, I mean, and again, that's what these roundtables are about. Just come and talk, anyone. Bring your memories of Sportsman's Park.
And how many people are in the Browns Fan Club?
Oh, we have over 800 participating members across the country, 35 states, believe it or not. And, you know, we produce the magazine Pop Flies 3 times a year with great stories. And, you know, we have events... As we spoke, we have our annual reunion luncheon. We get about 400 people at the MAC every year.
Wow.
So you know, there is no fan club for the Philadelphia Athletics, the New York Giants, the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Oh, my gosh.
Boston has one where a letter comes out from a couple guys, but they don't participate. We are the only participating, involved fan club, and it's because of St. Louis. Baseball's our religion. Our stadium is our church.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Our cathedral.
And, right up there with the Catholic Church. Yeah,
of course, of course.
But it's just the way St. Louis is.
Well, Ed, I don't want to ask you any sports questions, so I'm going to ask you a question about something else you're going to know about. If you, I'm going to give you some initials. PR, as far as the telephone company is concerned, what exchange would PR
prospect.
Be? Say, wait a minute, let's go on. How about GA?
Garfield?
Very good. F-O.
F-O. I mean, we had St. Louis had F-L, Flanders.
Yeah, Forrest. Flanders.
Forrest.
Yeah.
Forrest.
Hey, Forrest.
Forrest. Yeah, Forrest.
That's
up there on Delmar and Union was it was the smallest exchange in St. Louis. And actually, I had that over my engineering area, but Forrest, yeah.
And H-U.
Ooh.
Humboldt. There was a Humboldt down by the brewery.
Was there, the one I knew was Hudson.
Well, there was not a Hudson that I'm aware of in St. Louis.
There was for a while.
Really?
A.J.
Harrison.
That's
up,
it.
Up in Overland.
Look at that. And final one, S.T.
The S.T. was, boy, that one, I don't.
South. Sort of St. Louis Hills area, south, Sterling.
Well, I wasn't aware, you know, the years I worked there, I never heard of Sterling in St. Louis. It was one you hear in the movies, but in the old days when you, you know, tell somebody their phone number, it's Underhill 8-3908, you know. Or,
I look at all these old phone books, my collection of phone books. I just look at all these.
Maine 1111, Maine, the dispatch, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, yeah.
Interesting.
And, you know, and then Chestnut was just across the streets, the Chestnut office. This downtown area was
Maine.
Chestnut.
What about Maine, and was that...
Yeah, Maine 1.
Maine 1 was a small one. It was a subset up a little bit north. But
See, today when you give somebody a phone number, it doesn't mean anything. You'd have no idea where they're from.
No, I mean, soul.
It's like asking someone where you went to high school. It told everything about you. And when you would ask somebody, just as you said, you tell them, hey, where'd you go? What's your phone number? And if they said, you know, Underhill or Riverview, you know.
Sure.
You knew where they were up in North County.
It gave you a mental picture.
It was a mental picture of the surroundings and, you know, what were the haunts. I mean, it really was. If you, like I said, Prospect, downtown, or, you know, Melville, Flanders.
In the suburbs, there was Republic and at Taylor, Yorktown.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And then you have all the ones on the other side of the river, too.
That's correct.
Well, now, the book is available now. Your book, Patrick, is how long has it been out? It came out, didn't
3 days.
3 days?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is terrific. You're taking the time to do this. I know you're going to have some book signings as well. What's your first? Do you have already had a book signing, or what's the first one?
No, the first one is the 25th at Webster Bookshop. And then 26th, let's see, that's 1 to 3, and 26th at Holy Redeemer in the rectory.
Oh, good.
And then Cary Cottage, the following, I don't have it in front of me.
Right? Cary Cottage is great, very great at this time of the year.
They sell a lot of the Irish books, too,
Irish
in St. Louis.
Yeah. What is the full name of that book, your book?
Irish in St. Louis, From Shanty to Lace Curtain.
A great book, it really is.
Thank you.
And you had there's another book, though.
Candyman, History of Switzer's Licorice.
Wow, what a great story, and of your relationship, family relationship with
that. Yeah, I grew up with Switzers and licorice, and hung out down at the factory by the Heath Bridge. I spent the last year traveling all around the state of Missouri, visiting little tiny churches and places like St. Patrick, Missouri, and little off the road, and the big cathedrals in Kansas City and St. Louis, and basically covering about 80 churches, photographing them, writing about their history, how they relate to immigrant populations, and how to get there and what to look for and what to see.
Places. We'll come back in a few minutes to talk more with Patrick Murphy and about your book, Places to Pray. This is Johnny Rabbit, and we're listening to At Your Service at KMOX. We are going right back to the various microphones. Oh, I've got to get your tickets here. Here's your prize for appearing today on the Johnny Rabbit At Your Service show. Admit one, Ed Wheatley. We have two tickets for you for the Missouri Pinnacle Garden, which is a great place to visit for at this time of the year right now.
I grew up right next to it on Tar Grove Place with my grandparents.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, that's right. It is right next to it.
It is.
Do I get tickets, too?
No. We have tickets for you. Of course we do. Yes, we have a pair for you, Patrick. Where did you grow up?
Where did I grow up?
Yeah.
I grew up in Kirkwood.
And you're not that far away in Webster Groves today.
Yeah, pretty good. You know, I set my low goals for myself.
Now, you mentioned the photographs in your book, the book again, Patrick Murphy's book, Places to Pray, Holy Sites in Catholic Missouri. But it's not all the holy sites. I mean, how many would there be if your book would have
It can't be all of them.
Yeah.
But I wanted to catch all the half the book is St. Louis, you know, the Archdiocese, because, you know, half the Catholics in Missouri live in St. Louis. But Kansas City, Jefferson City area, you know, the southern part of the state where there aren't as many. No, but basically there were so many of them that I picked ones that were particularly architecturally interesting or historically interesting or represented a particular ethnic group, Irish, Italians, Eastern European, African American. So I just wanted to do as much of a representation as I could.
And this is not 20 pages about each one. It's basically one page.
Yeah, but one or two pages with some photographs, some contact information.
That's important because a lot of these places are really small, out-of-the-way places.
Ahead of time. Yeah. Call ahead. Some of these is a lady in the office, you know, and you've got to get the key and go. But it's great. It's wonderful to explore it. There's such an amazing diversity of churches and traditions and a lot of interesting stories. Like every parish has got its own story or its own miracle.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them are shrines. Went to some shrines like Black Madonna Pacific and down in Perryville. But there's a little tiny town, St. Patrick, Missouri, up near the Iowa border.
Oh, my gosh.
Little Irish town. Catawissa, it's St. Patrick of Armagh. And that's interesting. It was built about the time of the Civil War. I was just really surprised to see what an amazing array of churches and traditions and architecture. And it's a good way, too. I mean, whether you're Catholic or not Catholic, I'm not trying to convert anybody through this book.
Right.
You know, if you're Catholic, you'll find it interesting. If you're not, you know, you might find it interesting,
I think you'll
too.
Find it very interesting.
Yeah.
And good photographs, too. Now, did you or did Annie take the photographs?
The photographs.
Well, did she help?
I would bring them home and ask which one she liked best, or if I had to go back and reshoot them.
And well, it's very unusual to have a book with the author's own photographs. Everything, like, they're all your photographs, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all. We did one drone shot. I worked with a buddy who's got a drone. We shot the White House from up above because it was
not the White House in Washington, D.C.
No. No, you don't shoot the White House in Washington, D.C.
Be careful with that.
Another thing in this book is about 20 different subjects that are like Catholic subjects that people who aren't Catholic think you guys are crazy. You believe in what? You know, and even some Catholics were a little confused by certain things, but they kind of explain these things in a way that makes sense. Like the rosary, relics, the infant of Prague, adoration, you know, things that non-Catholics.
And you've done it all in one page for each.
Yeah, basically, and the approach is sort of like, I know this seems strange, you know, particularly if you're not Catholic, but it might not be quite as strange as you think. So there's a lot of history in it, architecture. I think one thing the Catholic Church has been really good at for the last almost 2,000 years is being able to create spaces like the great cathedrals in Europe. Mm-hmm. You know, you go in there and you get a certain feeling. And it takes you out of sort of the monkey chatter brain level that we all live with. You got to get my oil changed. Got to return an email. All of that. You go into some of these churches, particularly in Europe, and you're sort of elevated to a different plane. You know, places to pray where you might be more inclined to pray, to talk to God, or listen. Maybe just shut up and enjoy the quiet. And these immigrants from Europe came to places like Missouri. And they built their own churches, and they wanted to build something beautiful, and they used their craftsmanship. And they also wanted to say, hey, everybody, we're here. Yeah,
right.
We might be out in the middle of a cornfield, but we're going to build the most beautiful church we can in, Indian Creek, Missouri, Brush Creek, Missouri, Gower, Missouri. And went to some monasteries and convents. You ever been to Ava, Missouri?
Oh, I just last night at about, I think it was 10:45. I was having the remnants of the Assumption fruitcake.
Yeah,
it was delicious.
They make the best fruitcake in the world.
My gosh, we had a big piece of that left over from Christmas, and my wife said that's supposed to be good for a year. I said, well, I'm going to have it, and I did.
Mine did not last a year.
Oh, you've got the big picture of the fruitcake in your book.
There's a picture of a fruitcake with a monk holding it. Yeah, you bet. And that's a famous recipe for fruitcake, too. And that's how they make their money. And they sell it all over the world. And they make the fruitcakes.
Not cheap.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
But they're worth it.
Hey, you want cheap or you want the best fruitcake in the world?
Fruitcakes can be awful.
Yeah. No, these are delicious. And it's the same fruitcake that the King of England, the one who abdicated, Edward, used to eat. He and Wallace Simpson used to eat that fruitcake.
That's not going to stop me from eating it. It should, but I won't. I'll just ignore that. Certain things you don't need to know. Hey, in your book, Ed's book, St. Louis Sports Memories, I see Ted Drews is in there. Ted Drews Jr., the Ted Drews that
senior,
we know.
Yeah, senior. Big tennis player. He's a phenom. He owned practically every title here in the Midwest, he was the man who really was making St. Louis tennis in the early part. But actually, you know, it was 1904 Olympics, him in, you know, the players putting in the Forest Park and around spreaded tennis across the country.
Yeah, that is, and a lot of people do not know that, but they will know it soon. Speaking of Ted Drews, right behind you, Patrick, there's Travis Dillon right now from Ted Drews. He's
Good to see you. Joining us
in just a couple of minutes. Here on At Your Service, our special show today where we have Ed Wheatley. We're talking a bit about basketball. We haven't really discussed basketball at all, but we'll have to do that. Patrick Murphy's Places to Pray. The new book, out just 3 days, Holy Sites in Catholic Missouri. And you said there are 80 sites?
This book covers about 80 of them,
And you drove yourself all over?
And that was the fun part, yeah. Little tiny back roads, big cities, although Kansas City, St. Louis, northern, southern Missouri.
What kind of camera did you use?
On a lot of them, I used my phone.
Yeah, well, that's true. They're beautiful pictures, too.
I know, and the new phones, it's amazing. They take pictures that are better than some of the...
Better pixelation than, you know, the old 35 millimeters we had.
It's amazing. And I mean, you can even tweak them on your phone, the color and saturation.
So they pixelate you, huh?
Yes.
I thought so. Yeah. Oh, and there's an honor. Patrick Murphy is the Grand Marshal coming up of?
The Downtown St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
So last year I wrote a book called The Irish in St. Louis, From Shanty to Lace Curtain.
Right.
And, you know, we've sold a few of them, and I got a call last week. Joe McGlynn asked me to be the Grand Marshal. So I just went out last week and bought a Kelly Green jacket.
Oh, good. That'll look good. Do you wear a crown or something with that?
They'll probably give me a sash or something.
Yeah, I hope they do.
I want a sash. Yeah.
So where will the parade be?
Well, you know, I mean, it's the downtown parade, so it starts like on Market Street, on the 11th. And they're expecting like 250 people, 250,000 people. 250 people. I haven't been that many people downtown in a long time.
Well, that's true.
No, 250,000 people are supposed to show up for the parade.
There are more people in our studio right now than there are in downtown St. Louis.
It's a small town, and it's all here in the Johnny Rabbit studio.
Right. It's happening now. You had some book signings. I didn't want to miss the others. I've given you the list that Reedy Press kindly sent us.
Yes, and let's see, on the, I should know this, shouldn't I? On the 25th, Webster Groves Bookstore on Gore, that's from like 1 to 3. And then the
following day. Is that in the same place as the old Webster Groves Bookstore?
No, it's down the street, around the corner. Just, it's within easy walking distance. It's on Gore. And then the following day, next Sunday, Holy Redeemer. From 2 to 4. And then the Carey Cottage, great place. Real Irish, I mean, it's...
Kirkwood Road.
Kirkwood Road, downtown Kirkwood. That's going to be from like on March 11th from 12 to 1. And then we're doing a thing out at Little Sal Retreat Center on March 21st in the evening. They're going to sell tickets for that. And we're going to Jeff City. We're going all over the... It's amazing. The Reedy Press really takes care of its authors.
Yeah, they do. They spread the word because, you know... They want people to remember St. Louis and all these great things.
Yeah.
Hey, one good question. Major League Baseball, Pud Galvin. Grew up in the Irish... Carey Patch District of St. Louis.
That's where my family's from.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
To win 300 games before Cy Young.
Carey Patch turned out a lot of interesting people.
That's a great piece of trivia. That's a good one.
That is. Your brain amazes me.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, and is that Travis over there?
It is, yes.
Hi, Travis. Hello. Are you? Who'd you bring with you there?
I brought my lovely wife.
Who is that?
Christy.
Christy back. Oh, there she is. I see her now in the background. Travis, how do you describe who you are? If I were to say, do you know Travis Dillon? Yeah, you'd say, what? I mean, you are?
Usually I just say I work at a small ice cream store in St. Louis.
That's not ice cream.
I know that.
But Ted just told me, call about it. Don't say it's ice cream. It's not ice cream. It's frozen custard. It's just like the old Chapman's ad, the subtle little difference. There is a big difference. Yeah. Ed, you were about to say something? Travis will be joining us here in the next few minutes to talk more about Ted Drews and the history of Ted Drews. And again, Ted Drews in your book.
Yeah, it's a big transition from the sports to Ted Drews ice cream. And there's a whole chapter. He really was good, guys.
He really
and
was.
Gals.
Yes.
I mean,
well, there's a transition from Places to Pray also to Ted Drews because Ted Drews is kind of a religion, I think.
Well, I guess you'd say that.
St. Louis religion, sort of, yeah.
That's terrific. Now, there's a place I saw in your book, Patrick, a very interesting book.
Thank you.
I don't know if I read every page, but I think I have. There was one, The Irish Wilderness, Missouri's Irish Wilderness.
Yeah. That's
what is that?
That's a strange story. That's like in the central southern part, very close to the Arkansas border. And not all the Irish moved to St. Louis or Kansas City. Some of them, you know, because they lived in the country in Ireland, they tried to find some country in Missouri, and they did. And they lived in a place called the Irish Wilderness and set up a community down there. And anti-Catholic and anti-Irish prejudice was so strong that basically they wiped them out. And then the Civil War, and then the Southern troops wiped them out, and the Northern troops, and then like nativist mobs came, and they totally just destroyed, killed, drove off all of them. And you don't find a lot of Irish Catholics in Southern Missouri nowadays.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, it's the kind of history that a lot of us forget. There were riots in St. Louis in the 1850s.
Oh, yeah. Well,
anti-Catholic, anti-Irish.
That was big. It was a terrible time. What about a newspaper? I think a newspaper called The Menace.
Yeah, The Menace. It was just this foaming at the mouth, anti-immigrant, anti-Irish, anti-Catholic, accusing them of absolutely everything from bringing cholera to the city, to the city burning down, to just everything possibly bad. The Menace was the newspaper. Yeah.
And any copies of that exist, do you know?
Oh, yeah. You'd go to the Missouri Historical Society,
They've got The Menace.
Throw out a word for the Missouri Historical Society, too. What a great place to work.
Absolutely.
With.
If you would be.
Photos, information, they are generous and helpful, and I have tried the patience of just about everyone there, and I have not been able to break them yet.
Oh, that's great. Yes. They're reopened now, aren't they?
They are. Library. Mm-hmm. About a week or so.
225
yeah.
South Skinker, what a great place to visit for anybody.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
But if you do want to do some research, it's always good to contact them ahead of time.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Mercantile Library or the State Historical Society of Missouri. Let them know what you want. Don't just walk in and they just can't go get it instantly.
Give them an idea of what you want. And if you're on a fishing trip, let them know you're on a fishing trip. You know, that you just want to see what they've got. And it's okay to say that you don't even know what you want, but just let them know ahead of time.
I mean, and it's not just some sterile building in the basement of a college library that you're doing your research. It's this beautiful former facility. I mean, it's
synagogue.
Yeah.
United Hebrew.
Right. Crazy. Be careful if you're at a table talking. The acoustics in that place.
He's telling you something very important. That scared the heck out of me a couple of times.
You're sitting there, and all of a sudden, in your ear, you're hearing a conversation that's on the other side. It's like a dome inside.
Yeah.
And it's like the listening wall there by Union Station where you can hear other people. All of a sudden, and you think, you know, if I can hear them, maybe they can hear me.
I'm sure they can. We'll be right back with a lot more. At your service, Johnny Rabbit at KMOX. That's Johnny Rabbit. We're at your service, and Ed Wheatley has left us. He's getting ready for a lot of stuff with schools, and now Patrick Murphy is here. Patrick, his book is Places to Pray, Holy Sites in Catholic Missouri, and Travis Dillon is here. We're going to talk about Ted Drews as we move on until the next half hour or so, so you can stick around, I hope, for a little while with us. And you know, you went to the Pink Sisters.
Oh, yeah. You turned me onto the Pink Sisters like 30 years ago.
That's right.
Because you had an aunt who was a relative who was
A wife's cousin.
Okay.
Sister Mary Gemma, who is retired now, and she's still there.
Okay.
There's a different sister that's in charge now. And Gary Brown.
Oh, Gary Brown.
Gary Brown was there. Now, he was one of the few people that got to go through the entire convent, which is a cloistered convent. And Gary from Radio Days.
My partner.
Gary Records Brown. What a great guy.
Yeah. We worked at a couple of radio stations together. And yeah, I still miss him. He's been gone over 20 years now. And people still remember Gary Records Brown.
Sure. And he was there because they needed a sound system put in. An intercom system through all the building. And I told them they could call IBW, this and that. And I said, well, do you have a friend or someone that did? And I asked Gary, could he do it? And he did. And he put it all through the convent in the new edition. And so Gary Brown was in the cloister.
I'm not surprised. He probably did an oldies night for him, too.
Well, we did do a trivia night for him one time, which is really went well. Now, the church, there are a couple of churches that same name, St. Francis Xavier in the book, one in St. Louis, one in Kansas City. Talk about a difference in architecture.
You know, one of the things that really interested me doing this was seeing all the different kinds of architecture in churches. And as we said a few minutes ago, one thing the Catholic Church is really good at is providing an atmosphere that'll put you in the mood to get out of your everyday thinking, mm-hmm. you know, so that you can go to church, you can pray, you can be thinking about higher things than whatever you're doing during your normal day. So you've got, in St. Louis, you've got beautiful places like St. Anthony of Padua, St. Cecilia, which is, has the best fish fry now, you know, with Lent coming up.
Oh, it's just so busy, though.
And then you've got these beautiful modern churches, mid-century churches like St. Xavier in Kansas City, St. Peter's in Kirkwood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a whole other kind of atmosphere. But to me, and these little tiny little churches in these little Kinstein, Missouri, and yes, they've heard all the jokes, okay? But like in the middle of this tiny little town is this Romanesque, it looks like it's been there since the Middle Ages, mm-hmm. you know, like cathedral. And you go to some place like Our Lady of Sorrows in Starkenburg, you see things like there's actually a brace, like a woman had polio, went in there, prayed at the shrine there, and walked out and left the brace there in the 1930s. It's still there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. There are all of these wonderful stories that communities produce mm-hmm. over time. But to me, it's amazing that you can build a building, put stained glass in it, you know, Stations of the Cross, all of the things you associate with the Catholic Church, and it actually affects your mood. You know, you feel different going in. And it, yeah, and some of us think it's a good feeling. Yeah.
Well, you remind me when you're telling that story about the whatever happened as far as the miracle, so to speak.
Yeah.
The Shrine of St. Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
And you were there, and it's in the book.
And that's a story, too, of a community pulling a church back from the abyss. At one point, it was almost totally destroyed. They'd actually painted the interior battleship gray. Mm. It was just basically a warehouse. And now it looks as beautiful as it ever did in the 1850s.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, you know everything, Reb. You know everything. And so I'm sure you know about the Hungarian church. I mean, really, try to take a piece of trivia that Johnny Rabbit doesn't know. St. Mary of Victories.
Sure. St. Mary of Victories, downtown 3rd and Gratiot, second oldest Catholic church in St. Louis.
Yeah, see? Did I tell you? And it's like it's surrounded by dilapidated factories, and it's practically under an overpass.
You almost look like you can touch it. If you're driving down.
And they're all at, well, St. Vincent de Paul, St. Peter and Paul, St. Vincent de St. Francis de Sales. There's so many amazing, beautiful places. And, you know, these things were built by immigrants with their pennies that they saved. Mm-hmm. And every group, you know, there's a German church two blocks down, there's an Irish church.
Our church is right next door, too, Trinity Lutheran.
Yeah.
The oldest church west of the Mississippi.
On 8th Street. I used to live right across the street from Trinity on 8th Street.
1839, I believe.
I lived at 1818.
My goodness.
Small town.
It is a small town. City. See, there's a reason you're both here. That has to be it. What about the stained glass? Emil Frey Company, was that the biggest as far as the churches in St. Louis?
Particularly in St. Louis. But you see, Emil Frey has been making glass since well before the turn of the 20th century. And they're in their fifth generation now.
Oh, my
They have
gosh.
A studio in Kirkwood now. They used to be down on Grand. Mm-hmm. If you see a beautiful church, like in the German style, the Munich style, it's probably an Emil Frey. Mm-hmm. And these people really know. They work in stories, and it's amazing, stained glass. Of course, stained glass was the way that a lot of people, before they could read or speak English, you know, could see Bible stories and...
But Siegfried Reinhardt at least did one window.
St. Gabe's.
Yeah.
Siegfried Reinhardt did...
On Nottingham.
Right
in the Ted Drewson area.
That's
there.
That's right.
Very close.
Exactly right.
That's a beautiful church, too. It's sort of Art Deco.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of a combination. More Art Deco than anything, probably.
Yeah.
Well, we'll come right back and talk a little more about this, talk about frozen custard, and we're also going to talk about the hill before we're finished today at 1:45. You're listening to At Your Service. My name is Johnny Rabbit. The program is here every week. Well, not every week, but next week baseball starts, so I guess we'll miss next week on KMOX. Johnny Rabbit at your service. Patrick Murphy is here, and Travis Dillon is here from Ted Drew's. And look what I found, Patrick, the tickets for you, the free tickets for showing up today.
Why, thank you.
For the Missouri Botanical Garden. Would you pass those to
thank
Patrick?
Thank you, because I wasn't going to leave till I got them.
I know, stay here night and day to go home and bring them back, but there they were.
Did you mean to give me three?
You want three?
No, you gave me three.
Well, I'll take one back because then I have enough for the next person.
Thank you. That's very nice of you,
Rabbit. And also, and there, do you ever go to Shaw's Garden?
Oh, yes.
Travis? And what a great place that is. Do they sell Ted Drew's frozen custard there?
No, not that I know of.
Because they have a place, I don't know what it's called, a couple of restaurants in there.
Yeah, I think it'd be great if they would.
You have it at grocery stores, though.
We do. We're very fortunate to have it in most of the grocery stores in the area.
We buy it at the grocery store when we're not buying it at the place.
Well, it's convenient.
It is.
Well, what about, we're talking about the place, what about South Grand?
Well, gosh, we're planning on opening South Grand this year. Unfortunately, the past couple of years, we were so short of help. But we're going to do it this
year. That's the first Ted Drew's, isn't it?
Actually, not quite the first, but it was in 1931.
Well, that's a long time ago.
And then one a year before.
The one before that was up on Natural Bridge in 1929.
Oh, right at Goodfellow.
Yeah.
And when did that close?
The Natural Bridge store closed about 1958.
That was a long run, actually.
It really was, yes.
And Ted Drew's, was his mother, was the first car hop, Mildred?
Yes, Mrs. Drew's, or we called her Graham, of course, but she was the very first car hop, yes.
I'll be darned. Isn't that something?
And Margie, her daughter, was a car hop as well for a while.
And the car hops ended, what, 77?
It was 76. That's the first year I started, and that was the year that the car hops stopped.
There are people out there under 40 years old going, what's a car hop?
Yeah, what is a car hop? They wouldn't know. Every place had car hops.
Yeah, that's right.
All the Parkmore locations.
Steak and Shake.
Even White Castle had car hops.
Yeah.
We just celebrated a birthday for one of Margie's daughters, Bobby, and she's 80 years old.
Oh,
yesterday.
My gosh. That's
and she
great.
Was a car hop as well.
Oh, my gosh. Terrific. Does she still have her outfit?
I know she does, yes. And she doesn't seem 80.
Not quite hopping as much.
No, she isn't
maybe
hopping
not,
as much.
And there's a car hop outfit at the Missouri Historical Society in their collection.
And we have one as well, Mrs. Drew's car hop uniform in our museum over next door at the gift shop.
Now, a lot of people don't know there's a museum or a gift shop, but where is it?
Yeah, it's a fun thing. If you go to Ted Drew's on Chippewa, you'll see that gift shop is right across the parking lot, and it has some wonderful things. Almost anything you can go, short sleeve, long sleeve shirts, hats, and pins, and Route 66 items, as a matter of fact, because we're right on Route 66.
I know people who actually have come in from Chicago just to buy the T-shirts.
Exactly, yes. We had several people yesterday from out of town. It's a fun thing.
How did you do that anyway? How did you go from being just a place that sells great frozen custard to becoming like an icon, a part of the culture of the city?
How that happens, except if you're around for 94 years, maybe it happens.
Kind of like being in radio, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. After a while, they get used to you, and you're an icon.
Yeah, and that's the truth.
Well, around.
It is hard. To be an icon, I'm not sure that's exactly the case, but we've been so fortunate.
You're an institution.
And
I mean, whatever.
That's for sure.
Like if you were met somebody in Paris, right, and talking, where are you from? Where'd you go to high school? Hey, you go to Ted Drew's?
Well, that could be. Yes.
That is true. Oh. Well, Jeannie Venn, I don't know if you remember Jeannie, is a concierge for many years at the Chase Park Plaza Hotel. She told me, really, I just talked to her about it this past week, that she lives in Phoenix now, and I said you were going to be on. She's one of the most asked questions that people will come to the Chase Hotel. How do I get to Ted Drew's? And many of them don't even know what Ted Drew's is. They still want to go. They have no idea.
Yeah.
Which is
really nice.
That happens really all the time. Now, Patrick and Travis, we were talking before about Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
Right.
Where is that again?
That's at 8th and Soulard. It's, as I mentioned before, it's the oldest Lutheran church west of the Mississippi. They started and was built in 1839.
You walk out the door of the market and you'll go a block and you're
right there. Yeah. That's right. And we love the church. It's wonderful stained glass there, too.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful church.
St. Peter and Paul?
A little further down 8th Street. St. Peter and Paul, which is huge and gorgeous. It's almost like a cathedral. They've taken a lot of the pews out now, and it's more of an open space, but they're very active in the community, too.
Why are they taking the pews out?
Because there aren't as many people showing up to Mass.
So what do they do instead of pews?
Well, they have sort of risers around the altar now. And the last word I got is that St. Peter and Paul is going to be one of the churches that's not closed down.
Good.
That's great.
Right.
Great news.
Well, yeah, that really is. And you work in the soup kitchen, Patrick.
Yeah, once a month, you know, my parish, Holy Redeemer, in Webster, we go down there and make cheese sandwiches and chili. And, you know, it's great fun.
It sure is. Sometimes we'll make our sandwiches for the homeless after the service. We'll get everybody together.
Yeah, there's a lot of great community work being done down in Seward. I lived in Seward around 1979, 1980. Mm-hmm. Paid $60 a month for rent.
Oh, man.
You can't get a deal like that now.
So you have St. Peter and Paul in the book here.
Yeah.
In the city of St. Louis on 7th Street. And they've got it. Oh, I see the picture of how they've redone the pews.
Yeah. Well, and I tried every entry in this, and there are about 80 of them all around the state. I try to have, you know, some photographs in it that represent, you know, what it is, either inside or outside. And then contact information, too. Phone number, website, if you want to know more. And as I say, it's a good idea if you want to go to some of these churches, particularly the ones out in the country, because mm-hmm. they're all over Missouri, to call up ahead of time. They'll always let you in, but sometimes some of these little churches, like way out in mm-hmm. the country, you know, they're not open all the time. So they might tell you to go next door to the post office and get the key from Marge, you know, and they'll let you in.
You and
know.
When you did this, how long did it take?
It took about 10 months.
Would you do one or two a week or a day?
Well, sometimes I'd like go to Kansas City and maybe I'd do 10, you know, at once and splurge. And I would try to drive. I learned a lot about Missouri, you know, like a lot of St. Louisans. Yeah. We know where Kansas City is and we know where Columbia is and Springfield. And I learned a lot about what's where in the state. So I do a cluster around Jefferson City, because one of the things I learned doing the book is that, like, Catholic isn't just a St. Louis thing. There are lots of small communities out in rural Missouri that, mm-hmm. that are Catholic with great traditions, because Irish immigrants went there, or Polish immigrants, or Italian, and they set up their little communities, and you know, the churches are still there.
But there's a place that I'm not familiar with, the Living Insights in Clayton. What is that?
That's the only place in the entire book, and I'm glad you bring it up. A guy named Jack Sisk runs it. He's the former CFO of Barnes Jewish, actually. So he decided on Clayton Road, right across the street, practically across the street from St. Mary's, right near Des Moines. There are a lot of little bungalows there, and sometimes they're like maybe a CPA or something. Well, he got one of those bungalows and turned it into a religious museum. And like Buddhist, Hindu, you know, Catholic, lots. But the interesting thing about this was, and okay, this is where I'm going to lose some of your listeners, okay, because they're going to think I'm crazy. he got, somebody donated a statue of St. Therese de Lisieux, who is like my favorite saint, Little Flower. And she started... And I know I'm going to lose some of you, but started performing miracles. People were coming there and being cured of cancer, of infertility. And beyond that, people were going in and actually seeing the statue move, arms mm-hmm. move, head move, eyes open and shut. And anybody still out there? and it's one of those things that it's worth a trip, whether you believe or whether you don't. It is an amazing place, and you go in there, and there is a very strong, very positive vibe.
That'd be darn
nice. So, you know, but don't believe me, okay?
Just go yourself.
I'm not trying to convert anybody with this book, and you don't have to be Catholic to like this book. It's just that I specialize and decided to do, you know, Catholic Missouri, because Catholic Church has been pretty good for a long time at creating atmospheres. What do we call it? Smells and bells, right?
Yeah.
And stained glass and atmospheres where people will go and be elevated to a different kind of mood, where you might be in the mood, if you were so inclined, to either pray to God or listen to what God might have to say to you. God's always trying to get a word in edgewise, but we just won't shut up, you know?
Mm-hmm. What about the nuns? Did you see a lot of nuns in your trip?
I saw a lot of nuns. It's like, if you want to get something done, call a nun. I mean, priests are great. You know, some of my favorite, best friends are priests, but like nuns are, they're behind the scenes and they're working like crazy. They're the nuns at the Pink Sisters.
Yeah, right.
There's a Benedictine monastery north of Kansas City. I think it's in Gower, Missouri. I just kind of showed up and ended up walking in the wrong door. and walking into the kitchen when everybody's making food. And like they have farm animals
and they
make records. They're the only group, it's in there. They actually placed in the top 10 of Billboard magazine for religious music a few years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Benedictine Sisters.
And that's in north of Kansas City.
North of Kansas City. And they sing and they make records, like the monks down in Ava make fruitcake.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I guess you're just going to have to get a copy of the book.
I think you have to find out about that.
Yeah.
Well, what about, are there still a lot of schools in the churches that you've
got? I didn't cover schools because that would be a whole other, 300 pages. Yeah. But
have you heard much? Well, you said that St. Peter and Paul is going to stay open.
That's what I've heard. That's the scuttlebutt out there.
That's good news. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing because, everybody at every parish right now is like worried.
They would be.
Yeah.
Now, this is just the St. Louis Archdiocese.
St. Louis is the only archdiocese that, it's close to half the state. I mean, it's.
Oh, that's true.
We're a big, like Cape Girardeau Springfield Archdiocese, they had to, like, go all the way across the whole bottom part of the state to get enough Catholics together, I think, to have a diocese. It's more just because of immigration patterns, not as many people from Europe went there, more, like Protestants from Tennessee and Kentucky. And, but you're a big history buff, Rab.
Sure,
all about these immigration patterns.
Yes. We did a couple of interesting shows that maybe you saw them when I was doing Johnny Rabbit's Unusual St. Louis on Show Me St. Louis on Channel 5. We did one through the entire Cathedral Basilica, including the tunnels underneath, all the way to the very, very, very top, which I backed out at the last minute and let Dan Buck be the one to go up there. And then we also did the Shrine of St. Joseph. I think it was Ted Schaefer's, who was a financial editor of the Globe, was one of the people that was really involved in getting it saved. And we really did a great tour of that when it was in really bad condition. A lot of pigeons and stuff flying around in there. So this is great to have this book and great to have you here. What about, we have Catholic radio stations in St. Louis and a network that operates Covenant Network.
I think I'm going to be on it.
Good.
Talking about, if I can't get on Catholic radio after writing a book called Places to Pray, Holy Sites of Missouri.
Then there's trouble.
Something's wrong. Yeah.
And of course, there are Catholic magazines that are out.
Yeah, the Review, of course.
The newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Believe me, we got press releases headed their way.
I'll bet you do.
You bet. We're going to be doing something at Catholic Supply, too.
Oh, right down by Ted Drew's.
Right before we go to Webster Books, we're going to be at Catholic Supply, noon to one on whatever day that was.
Next Saturday. If you need a Catholic, do they supply them? Is that? No, maybe not.
How many Catholics would you make? We have 400,000.
So if you're there, you're right across. Literally across the street, Jameson and Chippewa.
Yeah. You might think about some custard afterwards.
Oh, I'm thinking about it already. Are you kidding? You leave Catholic Supply and the first thought is, thank God, there's Ted Drews.
Oh, boy. And I saw in your sources nice mentions of some people who have really done a lot of good stories about St. Louis. Chris Knopfziger, a terrific historian, works for the city of St. Louis.
As I wrote the book, I consulted her writings, quite a bit.
And Nene Harris.
Nene.
And Valerie Shrimp-Hahn. And I see Jeanette Cooperman in here. So you've turned to a lot of good sources.
Well, if you're going to write a book, it's a good idea to have an idea of who's already written on the subject.
Well, that's true.
And we've got all the names you mentioned, those are all great local historians, as yourself.
You're very kind. Very kind indeed, Patrick Murphy. Thank you for being here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, and I'll see you at Ted Drew's.
Be happy to see you.
Okay. Hey, thanks.
We'll be right back with more At Your Service on KMOX. Johnny Rabbit, At Your Service, and Drew is here, one of our producers, and he's involved with your place, isn't he, Ted?
He is.
I mean, Travis, for Ted Drew's Frozen Custard.
Yes, I'm Travis, yes. Drew does a great job over there. He actually takes care of most of our outgoing wholesale operation, and he does a wonderful job on it.
Yeah, but wholesale, which means to the grocery stores or the airport.
You can imagine, all of the cups that he has to box, and they come and pick up twice a week, and it's couple truckloads, and so he works hard.
Well, that's very good. Good to hear Chris Saraceno is here. Hello, Chris.
Hey, welcome. Or thank you.
Yeah, you're quite welcome and happy to have you here. We've heard your commercials recently. I heard one today. Well, thank you for advertising with us as well.
Absolutely.
That's very nice.
Yes.
Do you have... You don't have a five of Ted Drews in the menu, do you?
I don't, but I know I have a Johnny Rabbit special.
Oh, I love the Johnny Rabbit special.
Which is in the menu in City.
I think we do.
I know you do.
Chris, dining at Southwest and Pancake, right there at Southwest and Hampton, the Johnny Rabbit special. My wife and had that. We had that this very week.
Yes.
And it's delicious. I usually, well, it's a very crisp bacon, very hot scrambled eggs, and two pancakes. And we always get the same thing. So we have two pancakes left over to take home because they're so big and we have them for breakfast the next day. So I recommend them, certainly. And that's not the only place you have. You've got another place right around here, right across the street from us, practically, at KMOX. What is that?
Yeah, Chris is at the Docket. We're in the Sioux Law Building at the corner of Tucker and Chestnut. We've been down there since 2016.
That long. That's good.
Right. And then, obviously...
Now, is that daytime only?
7 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every day of the week?
Every day but Tuesday.
What? Tuesday?
Tuesday became one of our slow days. The COVID, hurt a little bit with regards to help, and so we were trying to give everybody a day of rest, and that seemed to be the day that made the most sense.
I'll be darned. Well, that's interesting. Now, I understand you've opened another place.
And we also just opened downtown here in the Thomas Eagleton Building, the Chris's Eagle's Nest Cafe. It's 7 a.m. to 2, Monday through Friday. So more of a service to the Eagleton Building employees and guests who are there and anybody doing business in there. So, but it's the people's building because it's the federal building.
Sure.
And it's open to the public. All you need is an ID to get in, and certainly would welcome you there Monday through Friday.
Now, what kind of food would be there?
We have a salad bar, a salad and soup bar, and then a deli. Hot sandwiches, burgers, chicken tenders, chicken sandwiches, things like that. It's made to order. So you'll walk up to the counter, order your food, and it's made there for you and take it with you.
And then there's a place that we're going to be going tomorrow at 11, Travis.
Right, the Bartolino's Osteria.
Yes.
We'll be there tomorrow.
Hampton and right at 44, Wilson, correct. 44. Mm-hmm. Why are we going there? There's a good reason.
Yes, there is a good reason. We started a Hall of Fame luncheon back in 1991. And
that long? That's a long time.
It is. Ted and I were talking to each other. I recall the moment when we were closed for the season. We closed about 3 weeks just to do some maintenance and things. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about how we're so lucky people will come back after we close. And look at all the regular customers that they're the ones that keep us open.
Mm-hmm.
We thought... Ted said, well, why don't we just take them out to lunch sometime? And so that first year, we started 6 new members, went to lunch, and it's been going on since.
How many members are there now?
Well, we have a membership of probably 18, 20 people, but tomorrow's luncheon will be as many as 32 people.
My gosh.
We invite their spouses are welcome, and sometimes brothers or sisters come.
Well, Gwen will be there.
Gwen will be there.
I will be there, and I'm very honored to be in the Ted Drews Hall of Fame.
It's a lot of fun, and thank you for being in it.
Oh, of course. Thank you. This is the first time it's going to be at the Osteria.
I think we may have done it once or so in the past, but yes, in a long time. But obviously, we're really proud to do it because we were closed the last couple of years.
Right.
We could not do the lunch, and many of us weren't really... wanting to go out at that time.
And there's Bart will be there. Bart Saraceno, your brother.
My brother Bart. Yeah, he's there most every day and in the evening throughout the evening. So takes care of the thing. He's at the head of the ship there. So
it's a good restaurant.
Thank you. We've been there since 2008. And
that's at the Drury Inn.
It's in the Drury Inn. Yes, and we also have Bartolino South out in South County and. Mm-hmm.
Runs that one?
My brother Michael and his son Michael Jr. and his daughter Angela is involved on the day-to-day operations. Going back also, Bart's son Anthony is involved with Bart with the Osteria and doing a great job. And my youngest son, John Paul, is in the business with me. And so just like the Drews family and
multi-generational.
Multi-generational and It's great to have that, and I think that's what's special about not just Ted Drews, or not just St. Louis, but Ted Drews, and what makes them special is how they recognize, and we as Bonino's family or restaurant recognize the importance of our customers, all of our customers, and just the loyalty that is throughout St. Louis. And, you know, we're celebrating over 55 years in business.
Oh, my gosh. So I didn't realize it. What was the first? Was it Lacino? Was that the first restaurant? Or?
My dad opened Saraceno's Pizzeria in the Del Mar Loop. It didn't last long.
I didn't know that.
Timing's everything. He was on the bad side of the timing it was kind of going down. So we weren't there long, but Lacino's came soon after in 61. And then
that was on Hampton.
And that was at Hampton right there, Pernod. Family, you know, he went in with my grandfather, Nick, my mother's father, and my mother, my grandmother, Rose. And so they got together, and my grandfather, Nick, had a great job at R&F Spaghetti Factory.
Ooh, he was a Raverino and Fresca, right there in Kings Highway in Shaw.
Yeah, and he, you know, he loved it. It was steady work and 40 hours a week and a paycheck, and went into the restaurant business, and you didn't know if you were going to get paid the next day or who was getting paid. So it was a struggle, but they, you know, hard work and dedication, they got through those times, and here we are today, 55 years later, very thankful for their commitment.
And Travis, Ted Drews can go back 94 years?
We're right at 94 years, so isn't that great?
Hey, how many generations are...
Well, we're in the fourth, I would say. Our sons, Joshua and Brian, are sort of taking over and learning the ropes, and we have a daughter, Rebecca, that she'll be back into it someday. She worked for us as well, but we sure enjoy it, and isn't it a wonderful thing, Chris, to work with your siblings and your father
I bet
and
it
whoever?
It is. It's really, family businesses are unique and fun, but at the end of the day, it is so wonderful to be able to go shoulder to shoulder with your brothers, their wives. All of our wives are involved in helping in some type of form, you know, whether they're hostessing or, you know, helping out in the back or doing the books or whatever. It's great to have, you know, everybody involved and chipping in, but also just what you were mentioning about the young man who takes care of you. You know, we have so lucky for over these 55 years to have the great, not just loyal guests, but our loyal employees who are like family to us. And, you know, that's the one thing we learned from our mom and dad that I think has been just special to us is how we treat each other and the people that we work with on a day-to-day basis. They become your family, and you know, so many of them have been there for so long and so committed to you know, we've watched them grow their families, and it's just awesome to be able to have that loyalty.
And it really is. It's really great.
Now when you have a staff like that are happy to be with you, and actually it's all part of their lives as well. And you know, a staff of 10 managers for us, and I just asked the other day, each one of them have been there over 25 years and more.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's tremendous,
really is.
It's a tremendous tribute to you you know, how you've treated them throughout the time, and Ted and your family have been outstanding. And I mean, it's an institution as Johnny Rabbit is to the radio and to St. Louis. You guys are to St. Louis.
But we have a Johnny Rabbit special too.
Yeah. It's a Chip Cherry concrete.
And Johnny Rabbit Chip Cherry or Chocolate Covered Cherry Concrete is a delicious item.
It is delicious.
If you haven't tried it, there's no way to really, I don't know any other concoction quite like it.
Well, it's a popular item. The cherries are a big part of it too, but the chocolate chip is one of the most popular concretes we have. Mix delicious cherries with it. It's great.
What other specials do you have? I mean, set specials.
Well, we have the really popular items would be something like our tiramisu. It's a special blend of chocolate with spumoni in it, and it's got pistachios.
Oh, that does sound good.
People love pistachios.
Yeah, I guess.
And that's really popular. And we have a Dutchman, it's been around since almost day one.
That's got butterscotch in it?
It's got light chocolate, butterscotch, and pecans. And we have the Fox Treat. We named after the Fox Theater anniversary once. It's hot fudge with raspberries and macadamia nuts. That's been around for years. And I guess the turtle is becoming really popular. We had that combination before, and people were ordering it. We just decided we better put a name to it because it is a turtle.
A lot of flavors.
Yes. Well, that's got the fudge and caramel and
the
pecans.
Now, tell me about the chocolate sauce that you make.
Yeah, our chocolate sauce is something that's been day one. We take a chocolate that has a chocolate liqueur in it, and it's really the greatest dark chocolate you can ever taste. That chocolate liqueur is one of my favorites in that, but we mix marshmallow, and it's a recipe that, it's funny that when Ted first opened the business, there were only about five flavors, and that light chocolate was one of the one that's been there all along.
Now, the Hill is very much in your system, so to speak.
Yes.
But you live on the Hill,
yes.
Chris Saracino, who we're speaking with from Chris's Pancake and Dining, etc. And you live there, live in one of the old Ruggieri houses.
We do. It will always be the Ruggieri house, and, you know, across the street from their Ruggieri restaurant.
Yeah.
And they built the family house there, and we bought it from Bob Ruggieri, who was the alderman for over, I don't know, 15, 20 years.
Really long while.
It's a long time.
Too bad he's not around. He'd make more money.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, the Hill's a special place. It's one of those unique neighborhoods in the city of St. Louis that make, you know, the St. Louis city just such a wonderful place to live. As Patrick was talking about, you know, St. Ambrose is as a church. I mean, that's our church, and that's a special place. I think that's where the heartbeat of the Hill comes from.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, St. Ambrose and out.
And you had that piazza.
And now the piazza across the street, which has been a wonderful addition between the Piazza Emo and the private folks that got together and developed that. And it's just amazing. It's a great place to be. Your ice cream, if you got it from Ted Drew's, it might melt by the time you got over to the piazza, but it'd be a great place to sit and have a Ted Drew's.
Wouldn't that be so?
Now, but Ted Drew's on Chippewa and also coming back to South Grand, right there by the old Cleveland High School block south of Merrimack. When is that going to open?
Usually we open about mid-May, and that's, again, the time we're going to try to shoot for it. Mid-May always was the time when we got our kids back from college.
Mm-hmm.
So we had an additional amount of 10 or 12 people, and we were able to open that second store.
So it'll be back this year. So look
for
that.
We're planning on it, yes.
And the gift shop, you had mentioned before, now that's very new, right? And you have a small museum in there, and that's just to the east. There's a big parking lot on the east side at Chippewa.
That's correct.
And then the two-story building. Is everything on the first floor?
Everything's on the first floor. I bought that building because of the fact that it was something that was convenient for us, and we use it as a warehouse up above, but just for cardboard and cups and lids. But the lower part used to be a barber shop and a real estate office in recent years.
So what's in the gift shop? Well, my shirts, obviously, Tedra's shirts,
right?
T-shirts, big seller.
Right. We've got even coffee mugs and pens and Route 66 signs.
Good.
We've noticed that people who travel Route 66 obviously want something that has that on it. So we've decided to get some Route 66 items. And there's a museum right next door where people can actually see old pictures of the stores.
Mm-hmm.
And a picture of Ted Drew Sr., who obviously, to us, we think he's great, but he was a good tennis player.
Oh, yes, he was. No question of that.
In the 20s. And I believe he won the 11 championships in a row in the Muni Parks and four titles in a national park.
Then he got in the frozen custard business, as I recall, in the traveling carnival.
That's right. It was the late 20s. They used to continue playing tennis. And while they were there, someone asked Ted if he'd like to make some money and maybe travel with the carnival as a Royal American.
And that was a big one.
It was a big one. Ted just had to come up with some a dessert and an ice cream, went traveling with the carnival, and that's
it
where
is.
It started. And that's a great thing to hear. It's a wonderful story.
Now, on the Hill, you have, so to speak, a museum in a way. There is a Hill Center there, too.
Correct. 1935 Marconi. It's been, we've had it there about 6 years. You know, what is important to keep in a neighborhood like the Hill, you know, the legacy is to preserve its heritage. And so that's what, when we opened that about 6 years ago, Marie Alexander runs the day-to-day there.
She's still there.
She's still there. She's there from Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You can go in, you can find out information about their families that have lived on the Hill. We've had people from all over said, hey, my family, I think, grew up on Daggett somewhere. Lynn, there's a couple archivists, Marianne Peroni, who knows something of somebody, and they're helping with family trees and legacy. So, yeah, it's a very, as it as it gets more and more, we're trying to do more to give information about preservation of the neighborhood and different families.
What's the address there on Marconi?
1935 Marconi, right at the corner of Marconi and Daggett, across from Di Gregorio's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a great market that is. In the late 20s, early 30s, there was a shoe repair place there owned by Pasquale Giordano at 1935. It later became Lou Serra's drugstore.
Yes.
So this is a great history.
Yes.
You're talking about a great safe neighborhood to go night or day. There aren't many safe neighborhoods anymore that you want to go walking around in. The Hill is a different world. It's like a city within a city. Just terrific. Like Tedrew's Frozen Custard, you go there and you just feel at home and you feel safe and people are happy and enjoying themselves.
It's tremendous.
Every time I pass Ted Drew's, there's somebody in front of the sign taking a picture. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's somebody. It's just amazing. I love it. It's just wonderful.
Well, Chris Caracino, thank you very much. I'll be back. I'll be at the Bartolino's Osteria tomorrow for the Ted Drew's Hall of Fame lunch at 11 o'clock.
Yep.
With the other members. That should be a big crowd.
We're going to have a blast.
And then we'll be back at Chris and Pancake and Dining very soon for the Johnny Rabbit special.
We love it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Christy has been very quiet over there. I know.
Christy has.
But thank you, Christy, for being here as well. And thank you both very much for giving us a lot of good insight about a lot of things in St. Louis. And we had earlier spoken with Ed Wheatley about a little bit about basketball, about his current books. It's on his fourth book, another one coming out in April, and Patrick Murphy's third book, Places to Pray, Holy Place Books. And we forgot to mention it, but Patrick Murphy is now working on a book, a big one with a lot of pictures about something that people love, continue to love year after year after year, the 1904 World's Fair, and he's working on it now, and it's going to be out next year. And for KMOX, this is At Your Service, and I thank you very much for listening. We'll be back probably in a few weeks. Cardinal baseball, though, next week on KMOX.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.